Blog Talk Radio.
Children of children, the gift of love, we must love.
Vocal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abba Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior and Redeemer, thank you for giving us another day, Father. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the air that we breathe, Father. Father, we ask that you forgive us for all our sins that we commit knowingly and unknowingly. We ask, Father, that when we go to the left or to the right, that you chastise us in your loving kindness, Father. Bring us back to your path, your way, your truth, and your direction. Father, we ask that your mercies, your loving kindness, never be removed from us, Father. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that you have set apart for us, your Shabbat. We thank you for everything that you have done for us throughout this week, throughout the course of our life, Father, to bring us to this point, Father. We ask that you continue to shape us and mold us, Father, into the men and women that you desire. We ask, Father, that you continue to perfect us. No matter how hard it gets, Father, no matter how rough it gets, Father, strengthen us by your Spirit that we can get through all the trials and tribulations that this world has to offer. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, honor, and glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Shiva. So how you doing this morning? All right. Today, we're going to talk about inspiration and how the Most High has inspired man to do different things, especially when it comes to this word. Now, the definition for Webster's definition for inspire means it's a verb. And it means fill someone with the urge or ability to do or feel something, especially to do something creative. Synonyms for it are stimulate, motivate, encourage, influence, rouse, move, stir, energize, galvanize, incite. But the next definition, the Most High did, breathe in or inhale. So when we look at some of the things that the way that this word is used in Scripture, that's what we read, even in the New Testament where we where we're going to start. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And it reads, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yah. So we're going to stop right there for a minute. And the phrase by inspiration of Yah, it's a compound word coming from 2315. This word is theopneustos. And it means inspired by a mighty one. Divinely breathed in. So, and it's a compound word, and it comes from these two words. Number 2316, that word is theos, which means a mighty one, a god, or something divine. And the other word is number 4154, and all this is in the Greek, my mistake. All this is in the Greek section of your lexicon. Number 4154, and this word is pneuo, and it means to breathe, to blow, or to breathe hard, that is a breeze. So, what we learn is every scripture that we find within the Word is breathed by God, is inspired by God, but this is His breath. This is literally His voice. Because when you think about breathing, we breathe in and we breathe out. And, you know, we do it through the nostril. Sometimes we do it through the mouth. But when we talk, we breathe. That's our point. That's your breath coming forth. It's literally the Most High speaking these words. These are His words. These are His thoughts. And He just put it within a man's mouth. So now he gets to speak the word or breathe the breath of the Most High. So let's get back to 2 Timothy chapter 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yah, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of Yah may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So he didn't just breathe into us or give us his breath for no particular reason. It's a reason why we have it. He wants us to understand the doctrine that he put out. So he put it within a man and allowed that man to speak. He wants us to reproof ourselves or and correct ourselves, prove him thyself. These are his instructions in righteousness. He put these things inside of a man for him to relate it to other men. All right? So, let's look at something else. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And this is the first man that he inspired. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, and Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now the word breath in your Hebrew section 9:7. This word is neshama, and it means a puff, that is wind, angry or vital breath, divine inspiration, intellect, or concretely an animal. So, and this word comes from another word, number 5395, the Hebrew section. And this word is nasham. And it means properly to blow away, that is destroyed. So this is the first man that he put his spirit within, put his breath within. And with this man, he was supposed to do everything that we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So He was the one who received the doctrine first. And he breathed it, told it to his wife. He gave instructions to his wife. He was supposed to reprove his wife and himself and correct, because there was only two people there, two people on the earth at that time, Adam and Hawa. After that, they had the children. They had Cain, Abel, and Seth, and their daughters. So the doctrine was within Adam, and he was supposed to teach it and breathe the words of the Most High onto the rest of his family so that they would understand, all right? Parts of the definition was intellect, what we just read, right? Because anytime that we're talking about breath and we're talking about speech, you know, you have to think of a word before you actually pronounce it or breathe it out, right? So right, we're going to go to the book of Job, and we're going to start at verse 1. And we actually have a couple of scriptures in Job, because when I was studying it, it talked a lot. Job deals with the breath of the Most High a lot. All right. But Job chapter 32, starting at verse 1, it says, "So these three men ceased to answer. It says, "So these three men ceased to answer Job, because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barak El, the Buzite of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than Elohim." So if anybody ever read the book of Job, point where all the arguing has stopped. And now the young man, Job went back and forth with his three friends. And now the young man, Elihu, steps on the scene, and he's about to lay down some stuff for Job. Job, the three friends, could not bring Job to see his error. And this is why Elihu was upset, because Job kept on saying, "I was right. I'm righteous. I didn't do no wrong. I didn't do no wrong. And the Most High is just picking on me," basically. He was righteous in his own eyes, right? So Elihu is now about to say some stuff. Verse 3, he says, "Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they found no answer and yet had condemned Job." That's just what I was talking about. They are telling Job, "You're doing wrong," but they couldn't answer Job any further. But they was condemning him from doing wrong, but they couldn't prove it, basically. Verse 4. "Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he." So just like it's a proverb, it talks about how you're supposed to rise at the hoary hairs. You know, you're supposed to make the hoary hairs smile. When you are an elder and a young man, when you're a young man and you come to an elder, you let them talk. You let them speak. Sign of respect, you allow them to speak. And he's about to say why. He's going to say why down in a couple more verses, because they've lived this life. They put out more breath than you have. They have more experience than you have, you know. So you allow them to speak. You never know what's going to come out of the elder's mouth. You never know what type of experiences they went through. you know, we have an elder that our elder, Master L. I love talking to him because you never know what he's been through. He's been through so much, you know, with that going through, is living as long as he has. He's been fought in wars. You know, he didn't experience the good of life. He didn't experience the bad of life. You never know, you know, what's going on with him or the things he's been through. But there's a lot of experience there. Telling us about one time where he was riding a guy. He never rode a horse before. And the guy, a guy smacked the horse and made the horse run. And he ended up on the horse and really hurting himself. But, you know, looking at him, you would never you wouldn't think that he would be a horse rider, and he's not. But you know, it was just a crazy story. You know, but again, you never know what these elders been through, so you allow them to speak, if not just for respect purposes, at the very least. All right, he says. Now Elihu had waited till Joel had spoken, because they were older than he. Verse 5, when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barak El, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and you are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you my opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Going back to that definition of intellect. The Most High put a spirit within us that gives us understanding. So these men, these elders, who didn't have the spirit longer than you, they the ones who should have greater understanding because they've been through more, right? But let's read what else he says. He says, in verse 9, he says, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. So sometimes you have what you call, and pardon me for saying this, old fools,
right.
You know? There are some men out here and women who are older who don't have the wisdom of the Most High. They're just not wise. They don't understand the world. They don't see through the eyes of the Creator. They don't have his inspiration. So they miss what's going on, and they deem to repeat the same mistakes over and over again. You know? But still, you give them their respect as an elder. You know, you don't chastise them, as the words say. You know, you don't chide them. You can correct them, but you don't chide them. You know, if they say something wrong, you can correct the elder in respect, but you don't chide them. You don't ride them hard. You know, this is our word, inspiration, same word. So it gives us understanding. All right. Next chapter, Book of Job, chapter 33, starting at verse 1. It says, wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches and hearken to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth, my tongue hath spoken in my mouth. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The spirit of Elohim has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. The same word again. Neshama, his inspiration, his breath gives us life. We use it to correct and reproof ourselves. We're supposed to understand his doctrine through it.
Amen.
You know, his breath does a lot for us. It's given for a purpose. It says, verse 5, it says, if thou can't answer me, set thy words in order before me, stand up. Behold, I am according to thy wish, and Elohim speed. I am also formed out of the clay. So he was just letting you know. These are his words. This is his understanding. Job, I understand where you're coming from. I recognize what you're saying, but you're no different from anybody else. You know, we've been through some stuff, too. All right? Any questions or comments so far? All right. In the book of Isaiah, starting at Isaiah 42, starting at verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Yahweh, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. So, the Most High is telling everybody, I'm giving you this breath. I formed the heavens. I formed the earth and everything in it. And all these people that's on it, I'm putting my spirit, my breath within them, so you can walk therein. It allows us to function. Again, like he said, like Job said, like we read in Job, it gives us life. It gives us vitality. It allows us to move, breathe, jump, walk, talk, everything. It's because of his spirit. All right? Book of Job, chapter 26. Starting at verse 1. And he says, but Job answered and said, how hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that has no strength? How hast thou counseled him that has no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words, and whose spirit came from thee? Now, in this way, the word spirit, that's the same word, neshama, right? So, it's not our spirit that's coming from us. It's not our, that it's not us that allows us to do these things. Whatever it is that you do. That's why people say, in all things you give glory to the Most High. Why? He's responsible for you doing all things, literally. Without his spirit, you don't live. Without his spirit, you don't function. Without his spirit, you're dead. It says, dead things are formed from under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. It's just like you're dead. You know, a dead man's, you don't breathe underwater. You know? You can't breathe underwater. That spirit is muffled underwater. So you're dead. That's how you are without his spirit. You know? It's his spirit that comes forth out of you. It's his spirit that allows you to, you know, in the word that says, don't think about what you're going to say at times, because the Spirit will make intercession for you. He's going to speak for you, literally. That's what His Spirit does for us, you know. So take no thought about what you're going to say. Take no thought about, what if He takes His Spirit from you? You doing all this thinking, planning for tomorrow, and you don't see tomorrow. You know, that Spirit comes back. It's time for you to come home. And now you did all this planning for tomorrow, and you never see it. That's a lot of people that didn't wake up today. Plain and simple. But we don't think about stuff like that because we're living. You know? Next chapter, Job chapter 27, starting at verse 1. Says, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, as Elohim liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who has vexed my soul, all while my breath is in me, and the spirit of Elohim is in my nostrils. So the word breath is our word there. Neshama, again, literally is His breath. That's in us, that allows us to do these things. So, it's His breath that allows us to do these things. It's His breath that allows us to function. The reason why we can see colors, the reason why we can say, Tod Abba Ba Abba for another day of life, because He literally puts the life within us. Literally. Is His Spirit that maintains us. Now, the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. Yeah, book of Proverbs, chapter 20:27. And it reads, the spirit of man is the candle of Yahweh, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So, again, spirit is our word again. That's His light to our inside. Right? He says, that's His, that's how He searches us on the inside. Right? By the spirit that He gives in us. So, I want to look for this verse. Because I think it's in Jeremiah. Okay, book of Jeremiah, chapter 11, verse 20. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 10. That's what I was looking at. We're going to start at verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And it reads, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the reins. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. So, like we just read, His Spirit is His candle. So His Spirit literally goes through our insides, goes through our mind, and checks our mind, checks out how we're thinking, checks out what we're doing. It's searching to correct us. It's searching to reprove us. It's searching to make us do what's right and be righteous in His eyes. His Spirit does that. That's why when we're doing something wrong, or a lot of times when we're doing something wrong, we know it's wrong a lot of times. We're out of order, you know, when we're thinking the wrong thought, when we're about to commit a wrong act. That's the Most High Spirit talking to you. Don't do it. You know you're out of order. This ain't setting right with me. It's his spirit telling you, you know, don't do it because he's checking you. Comments so far. All right. So, another thing, what the Most High put on my mind about his spirit. In the book of Revelation, chapter 10, starting at verse 8. And it reads, "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said to me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hands and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." So this is another thing that we learn about his spirit. Another reason he gave it to us is to prophesy. Think about all the times that we read within the word, and the word of Yahweh came to this prophet. Prophesy about this mountain. Prophesy against the Moabites. Prophesy against the Edomites. Prophesy against these people, against that people. He's doing that because the Most High is literally, that's a form of inspiration.
Amen.
The Most High has something to say, so he's using a man to say it. You know, he's saying to, look, tell these folks these words. All right? I'm going to put, just like we read in Revelations, take that little book, and it goes inside of us. And then we breathe out what's on that book. We tell the people what the Most High has told us. He inspired to tell us.
Amen.
So you got prophecy, excuse me, and then you have, you can say that's prophecy too, but just the instructions, you know. So when Moshe went up to that mountain, and he literally had that experience with the Most High. Most High put his spirit within Moshe, breathed the words, listen, tell him this. He came back down and he told him. That's the whole point of his spirit.
Amen.
So, as long as this, his spirit and his inspiration functions with everything that's around us, you know, his spirit is what maintains life within this world. Spirit is what maintains order within his world. He inspired all of this. It's his breath. By his word, he spoke something and it happened. You know, by his word, he says the heavens are settled, that everything is settled forever in the heavens. It's his word that keeps the wind blowing, his direction, keep the wind blowing. The sun, the moon, and the stars function the way they do, and the way we do, the way we rise up, lay down, speak, move, whatever it is we do, everything is held in check by his spirit, you know. So any questions or comments so far, because that's about it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Why is inspiration?
One, is inspiration is significant to Bible believers. One, because we have to understand that it's not a man-made thing.
Right.
1 says, study to show thyself approved. We can go there. Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto Elohim, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So you think about all these folks out here that keep on trying to figure out if the earth is flat or not, when the words say it's a circle, it's a dome. You think about all these people out here that's trying to find life on other planets, creatures or other planets, when there's life right here. This is where he created life. You know, all these vain babblings, you know, that there's other dimensions and 80-foot tall, and they got giants living underground now and all this stuff. It's just vain babblings. But the Most High said, study his word so that you won't be ashamed. What happens? They spent $300 billion or something like that to make this big, to collide some particles together that was supposed to find the God particle, and they never started the machine up because they made this big excuse about it'll rip up the time-space continuum or whatever. You were ashamed that you cannot do these things. That's all. That's all. You was just making up an excuse why you can't do it, because there is no God. There's a God. There's not a God particle. You know, there's a mighty one that created all of this, an intelligent being. All this stuff didn't happen by happenstance. So he says, study this so you won't be ashamed in this world, right? Another thing he says is that to prove him. If we understand that this world and this world was inspired by the Most High, then we understand that he exists. That's why inspiration is important, that we understand that Moshe was just a tool, you know. So when we read these prophecies and the things that Moshe was given, you're going to return to Egypt in ships again. This is going to happen to you. That's going to happen to you. We understand that Moshe, it wasn't Moshe writing it. He just wrote it, but they weren't his words. It proves that the Most High is alive. It proves that he exists, and that Moshe and all these men who were in this book were just tools. They were just breathing what the Most High put into them. You know, that's why inspiration is important, because it's not a man. It's too many people out here saying that this is a man-written book. These men could not have known the things that they've known. They couldn't. They could not have known about how could a man that lived 2,000 or 3,000 years ago talk about, predict that the river Euphrates was going to dry up? How could a man who lived all these millions of years ago talk about the sun moving? We just found that out, that the sun, we're just getting this knowledge, you know, that the sun has a circuit, it has a path that it's on, you know. How could they know these things? It proves that there is a mighty one out there who is intelligent, who it kills that whole evolution thing. It kills it when we understand that these things was inspired, that these words was inspired, and they were breathed out by the Most High. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. That's what you're saying.
That's right. That's right. You know, and when we understand that, it kills anything that anybody else has to say about, it was a certain condition, and then lightning struck, fire was formed, dinosaurs came about, as they say on this this movie called Day One, the great turtle came from out of the sea, and life began. You know, we come from algaes, we come from apes, gorillas, and monkeys. It kills any type of argument against the Most High when we understand that these words were inspired. You know, I remember Rabbi Gershom Ben Daniel talking about how when you look at the human body and then you line it up with the periodic table, how you find all those metals and everything, almost everything on the periodic table you find within the human body.
Amen.
Proving that you come from the earth, the way that the Most High said. I mean, calcium is a rock. Your bones are calcium. That's a rock. That's what the Most High being, that's what he used to form the skeletal structure of you. You know?
Amen.
You go through these things, and that's why he says, prove me. You know, understand that when I put my spirit upon these men, that was my spirit. I was speaking to them. I was speaking through them. I was inspiring them. This isn't the thoughts of Moses. This isn't the thoughts of Isaiah. These are my thoughts, and they're just pinning them down in a way for you to understand them. You know, I had to come down to your level. You know, but when we understand that, it ought to increase our faith to know and have a better awareness that the Most High is actually, one, concerned for us, two, looking out for us, three, is caring for us on a daily basis, you know, and that he exists. You know, it should strengthen our faith to the point where we don't waver back and forth. You know, unfortunately, people, you know, the adversary is good at what he does. You know, at destroying faith, the adversary works very hard to make people doubt these words. The adversary just goes at it. You know, and it's always some kind of curveball, you know. But when you line it up against the word, and the word is your foundation, then, you know, it's not too hard to hit, you know. Any other questions or comments? In this blog talk session, Brother David Well, Koku. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abba Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior and Redeemer to us all. Once again, Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time, Father, that you set apart for us. Father, we ask that you put your spirit upon the teacher today as he brings forth your words, Father. Breathe your breath into him, Father. Allow him to speak your words and speak what is pleasing to you, to edify us, Father, to bring us closer to you, step by step. Father, we ask that you bring all your sheep together, Father, bring them to the fold and allow them to get here safely, those who are on their way. Father, we ask that you bless all who are sick, all who are in pain, all who are ailing, Father. ease their discomfort by your spirit, strengthen them by your spirit, Father. Father, to all of Israel that is gathered everywhere, in honor of your Shabbat, Father, continue to bless us, continue to look down upon us, Father, with your loving kindness, to continue to allow us to be the apple of your eye, Father. Forgive our transgressions, forgive our shortcomings, Father, and strengthen us by your spirit. In Yahushua's name, we ask all these things, giving you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.